This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled Habakkuk, the Singing Prophet, and is the second in our summer series.
Well, this summer we're doing character sketches of various men and women in the Bible. And as I told you before, there is something for us to learn from every single one of these people. You know, the Bible tells us that everything that's gone on in the past is for our understanding and for our learning. In other words, sometimes you look back and see the past is prologue. If you look back, you can see what's going to happen going forward. And so what's happening in the lives of these individuals, and in this particular case, the book of Habakkuk was written 2,600 years ago. Now you would say what was going on 2,600 years ago should bear no resemblance to our life today. But I'll show you this morning that that's a far cry from the truth, because everything in God's word is applicable to your life and my life in our world today. Habakkuk is also known as the singing prophet, the singing prophet. But parenthetically, he was the prophet who had questions. He was the prophet who had doubts. In fact, some commentators will say that he's the Old Testament doubting Thomas. He had his share of fears. He had his faith. He praised the Lord, and he still had the joy of his salvation. All of those things I laid out in addition to him being the singing prophet, because maybe some of you don't sing. I know a few young guys who don't sing. But he, in addition to having those things, he's very much like us. Sometimes he's up, and sometimes he's down, and sometimes he's strong in his faith, and sometimes his faith is not so strong. So as we go through the book of Habakkuk, you're going to see how it marries up to your circumstances and mine today. So the first thing I'd like to do is give you a historical background, short one. And then the second thing we'll do is Anthony will come up and we'll have an interview with Habakkuk. And I know Anthony doesn't look 2,600 years old, but he'll have to do. Israel's northern kingdom had fallen to Assyria in 772 BC. You've got the map behind me. It left only the tiny southern kingdom of Judah in the promised land. In 612, Assyria itself was conquered by Babylon. That's 612 BC. Now Babylon was threatening to invade Judah. Judah's spiritual condition was at an all-time low. In other words, beside the fact that they had outside forces playing on them, filling them with fear, their spiritual condition as a nation was at an all-time low. And into this situation of threats from the outside and threats from the inside, in comes the eighth of our minor prophets, Habakkuk. In order to get insights and lessons from the life of Habakkuk, we'll glean some excerpts from his very short book in the Old Testament. This was written 2,600 years ago. This is what God told him to write. Habakkuk is the only book in the Old Testament which is consistently a dialogue between God and a human person. It's the only one that throughout those three chapters, it's a conversation between God and Habakkuk. So let's go to Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Let's stand together as we read. Habakkuk is a man confused. You can almost hear that confusion as we read the scripture. He opens the book with a question for the Lord. Imagine. His question to the Lord is, for years, I've seen what's going on in my own country. I've seen horrible things happening. I've seen the worsening moral condition. I've asked you, Lord, time and time again to intervene. I've prayed to you. I've cried to you. And it seems to me, God, you're ignoring this situation. With all that's going on, it seems as if your ears are stopped. And he asks the Lord, are you ever going to do something about Judah's sliding away from you? And you've probably asked yourself the same question about America. As we watch our country slide into a moral abyss, does it seem to you that God's not listening? You know, there was a Daily News front page not too long ago after there was another gun shooting. And the Daily News on the front cover said, God's not going to change this. People just don't realize what they're saying. people don't realize what they're doing. We don't recognize the fact that it is God who's in control. And God is answering our prayers. I want to share six lessons from the book of Habakkuk. And here's lesson number one. God is not afraid of tough questions. God's not afraid of tough questions. There are times in your life when you have doubts. There are times in your life when you can't explain what's happening. There are times in your life when you've questioned God. God can handle it. He's a big boy. God can handle your moments of confusion, your moments of anger, your moments of fear. God can handle all of those things. And therefore, he encouraged you to ask any questions of him. The Bible says that God says, come, let us reason together. So if you have questions, speak to the Lord. He'll answer you in many ways. He might answer you through the word. He might answer you through somebody you know who is a believer, who trusts God's word. They may have an answer for you. But don't have questions and not look for answers. God wants to have that conversation with you. Verses 3 and 4 of the text we just read, Judah's sins look very much like America's sins. If you can remember what the text said, it said that there was rampant violence. Is there rampant violence in America today? Is that the sense we have? We're being told by the politicians, look, there's nothing here to see. And then they get us off into other things that really aren't important to keep us away from the big issues of our day. There is violence in our streets. And then there's law breaking back 2,600 years ago. Is there law breaking today? The law breaking is not just among the people, but it's also among the people in power. The difference is that the people on the street, they pay the price for their law breaking. And the people on top don't seem to. Back 2,600 years ago, Judah was a nation divided by bitter disagreements. Are there bitter disagreements in our country today? I mean, just follow the political campaign. People are saying things about one another that are just horrible. And people take sides. And the truth is that people on one side, they will not be changed. And people on the other side, they will not be changed. And the people who don't care, they won't be changed either. So there's bitter disagreements back 2,600 years ago and today. And there was injustice back in those days. And Habakkuk has been praying about these things and crying before the Lord about these things. There's stealing going on. And then there are the godless who are oppressing God's people, the righteous people. We see all of that today, all of that going on. Nothing new under the sun, nothing new under the sun. Verse 5 said, God says, don't worry, I'm doing something about it. And this is what he says in verse 5, behold, that means look. Look you among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told to you. Despite all outward appearance, he's telling the prophet, you may not see it. You may not be able to get your arms around it, but I want to let you know that I am doing something about this moral decline, and I'm doing something about the conditions that are going on today. I can do something about this, contrary to the daily news headline. God can and God is doing something about the issues that are facing our country today. You just have to believe it, even though you can't comprehend it, even though you don't think you're seeing it. Lesson 2, when we look through God's eyes, we will realize all things are under his control. This is the problem. We're looking at our current circumstances. We're looking at our own situation. We're looking at our own individual issues and problems through our eyes. And we've got to get God's eyes to see the situation. You may be personally going through a very, very difficult time, but it would be great if you could see it the way God sees it. And God is seeing some of these things very differently than you and I are. God's got a plan for your life, and God's got a plan for this planet and the people on it. God's got a plan for America, and nothing is going to change God's plan or thwart God's plan. What's going to happen by God's hand is going to happen. And you can go to the Bible about that, and you can go to the bank about that. God tells Habakkuk he's going to use the Chaldeans, which is another name for the Babylonians, to punish Judah. And he's in shock. He said, you're going to let the Chaldeans punish us? They're worse than anything that's going on here. These are the most vicious, fierce, merciless, dreadful adversaries. They kill for the love of it. And you're going to use them to punish us and try to get us back on the right track? As I read this, I scratched my head. I said, is that what God's allowing to happen with all the terrorism? Is he trying to send us a message that we've wandered too far away? Is he not showing us that the violence in our streets and the injustice just didn't happen by accident? These are consequences of what we've been doing over the last 100 years. You know, these are the consequences of our walking away from God. And God is using evil and evil people to let us know that we have to come back to him. Sometimes he has to give us shock treatment to get us back because we've grown so apathetic. We've grown so indifferent to the sin in our lives and the sin in our country and the sin in our world that God has to send something to wake us up. And I would say it's time for America to wake up, not to a new politician, but to this book. To this book. It's time for us to go back to the Bible. And I know people will laugh when they hear this over the radio or over the internet. It seems so simplistic. But we've been here week after week and year after year, and we've understood that God's answers and God's principles and God's promises are not simplistic. It's not magic thinking. The things we read in God's Word are important to our life, and had we been following them, our world would look different than it does today, and certainly our country would. In verses 12 to 17, Habakkuk tries to put a guilt trip on God. After he lays out the fact that he cannot believe that God's going to use these awful individuals to bring Judah back to its spiritual moorings, he then begins to remind God of the aspect of God's character. He said, but God, how could you? You are the eternal. You are the holy. You are the just. You are the right. You are the mighty. You are the pure God. How could a God like that allow these brutes to punish us? Put another way, God, why do you love suffering? And that's a big question. Why does evil and why does suffering exist? Why do we have to go through these things that are so torturous? We already heard earlier the people had been warned to return to the Lord, and they refused. They were warned of the consequences to come, and they shut their ears. We saw Billy Graham preaching on our DVD presentation. The man's been doing it for probably 60 years. He's warned this country. He's been the biggest voice to warn this country over and over again. Unless you repent, the consequences are coming. He was a prophet. If you read any of his books, they go along with God's word, and they tell us the consequences that are coming are going to be severe. You know, the country of America is not named in Revelation or any future prophecy. Why not? Either it's because it's completely lost its influence to be a source of good for the world, or it's off the map altogether. We don't know, but the truth be known, the consequences of America's moral slide into Gomorrah and Sodom, we're paying a price for it now. And we'll continue to pay that price until we return to the God of the Bible. It's hard. It's hard to face consequences. It's hard to suffer. It's hard to go through difficult times. Here's lesson number three. Suffering are lessons. Sufferings are lessons. And sometimes we don't like the whole process. I don't know about you, but I don't like to suffer for the things I've done. I'm not comfortable with the consequences, and I'm sure you're not either. Unfortunately, suffering is a stern teacher, but it's a good one. Some of us have to learn the hard way. You've wandered far away from God, and now it's time to come home. But you didn't do it voluntarily. You had to go down into the pit. You had to go down to the bottom. You had to sink as far as you could possibly sink. And you had to find out down there at the bottom was a terrible place to be. You wandered around in the muck and the mire of this world. You thought you didn't need God. You thought you could shake your fist at God. And then you found out you were all alone in this world. Being all alone in this world is to be all alone in the universe. And when you became aware of the fact that you're all alone because you wandered away from the one who loves you unconditionally, you found out what real loneliness is all about. A cosmic loneliness. And you tried to fill it with something else, someone else. And you found the only way to satisfy that longing for love is to find the love of Christ. And when you found Christ and when you came home to Christ, suddenly you found yourself fulfilled and purposeful again. Our text goes on in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what we will say to me, what he shall say to me, and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So Habakkuk goes up to a high place. There's something about getting away from the valley. There's something about getting away from the toils and the turmoil and the stresses and going to a place to be alone with God. And to hear God's voice. You know, we are so preoccupied today. We're all so busy today. We're all so involved with so many things that the world pulls us down. And we don't take the time to get alone with God. It's only when we're alone with God that we'll hear his voice. Because in this world of instant media, in this world of mega information feedback, in this world of the web, in this world of Facebook, there is so much coming at us, so many voices, so much data, so much information. If God's trying to talk to us, we can't hear him. There are times in which you must get away and get alone with God. He goes to this high place, a watchtower, a high tower, waiting for God's answer. And how long will he wait for the answer? He'll wait until the answer comes. How long have you waited? What have you been praying about for weeks and months and years and don't have the sense that God has answered that? And you know my line. You know the three things I'm going to tell you. Well, I'll just put it this way. One of the things that God answers our prayers is with the word wait. And that's very hard. So waiting was hard for him, and waiting may be hard for you. But you know, sometimes when we wait on the Lord, we give up on the Lord. Because we're impatient. How long will you wait for an answer that's really in the deepest recesses of your heart and mind and is at the core of what it is that makes up who you are? In time, in your times of crisis, I want to encourage you to be patient, keep praying, because God's answer is on the way. Not in your time, but in his time. Verse 2 of what we just read, God answers, get ready to write down what I'm about to tell you, because what I promise to do will not happen overnight. It's going to happen in my timing. Because my people are impatient, you will need to remind them that I keep my promises. So I want what I'm going to tell you to be written down in order to keep hope alive. This is it. When you're praying and it seems like your prayers are not being answered, you got to go to God's word. You got to keep praying. You got to keep believing. You got to keep faithing it out. Don't give up. And God says, write it down. Because someday, this is going to be helpful to somebody. Habakkuk writes in verse 4, the last part of the verse, the just shall live by his faith. Well, now that's also repeated in the New Testament, in Romans. The just shall live by faith. Why is that a key? Because faith in God isn't faith until you're holding on to him. Faith in God isn't faith until you're holding on to him. Now, I saw a sign in some public place the other day. It said, have faith. Well, people use that as an expression. Have faith. In what? What are you having faith in? You and I know that the Bible says, have faith in God. And that's the only faith that's going to get you through. You can't have your faith in other people. You can't have your faith that things are just going to work out. You've got to put your faith in the Lord and know that He's got you in His hands. And He only wants the best for you. And things are going to work out for you better than you ever thought, even though it doesn't seem so. So when you pray, remember, pray in faith, believing. Because faith in God isn't faith until you're holding on to Him. Because faith expects from God what is beyond all expectation. And because faith makes all things possible, not easy. God never promised you that things would be easy. But He also told you that nothing's impossible. As long as you're hanging on to Him, as long as you're not letting go of faith in Him, as long as you continue to believe and trust Him, He'll see you through whatever it is. Pray past your doubts. Pray past your fears. Pray past your own unbelief. Lesson number 5. In all ways, at all times, in all circumstances, have faith in God and pray. Habakkuk asked God 2 questions, which God answered. The first question was, why does Judah, his own people, why does Judah go unpunished? And God's answer was, Judah will be punished. Why does America not turn to the Lord? Why do they keep on this moral downslide? Why don't they go punished? And God said they will be. We will be. Question number 2, will Babylon be allowed to punish Judah? And God's answer was yes. But in time, they too will be punished. Maybe God's using a group of people to punish the moral slide of a country or a people. Maybe God's bringing difficult things into your life. God says 2 things about these antagonists. He said, number 1, I want you to understand, they're going to get punished too. And number 2, I want you to understand that through this period of suffering, through this difficult time, regardless of what agent is being used to try to bring you back, I want you to know that you will not be destroyed, that you will not ultimately fall, that God will allow you to stand if you keep putting your faith in Him. The book of Habakkuk was written around 655 BC, and history tells us the city of Babylon, their oppressors, fell to Cyrus the Great in 539. It took 116 years for God's promise to be realized. And God also promised to sustain Judah during that time, and He kept His promise. God is not a man that He can lie. When God makes you a promise in this book, first of all, He put it in writing, so it can't be changed. Second of all, He put His name on it. In the beginning, God. His name is on it. His promise is on it. He has sealed it, and it's not going to be changed. You can believe God's promises. He does not lie to you. Habakkuk fully believed in faith all things that God told him. He responded to God's word in a manner befitting his reputation as a singer and as a composer and as a musician. And so what did he do? Now recognizing that God was in control, he was seeing things through God's eyes. When he realized that God's in control, when he realized that I'm not alone in my fears, when he realized that God's promised and His promises are true, the next reaction he heard was one of joy. The next thing he had was a sense of joy. So in chapter 3, he outlines a song of praise to the Lord in 3 stanzas. Number 1, stanza first, the first stanza. He sings of God's glory. And he says that God's glory is as the brilliance of light rays emanating from the sun, acting as an ever-present reminder of the majesty of the only true and living God. We don't see the sun today. But guess what? It's there. It's there. Stanza number 2. He sings of God's power. And he sees that power in the way that God has demonstrated through history, how He has guarded and delivered and preserved them through all their challenges. He said, Lord, I've seen You at work. The past has revealed to me that you never let us go, and you've done it by your might and your power. And the third stanza, he sings of God's judgment as an aspect of God's nature, not to be taken lightly. So when we talk about consequences, and we talk about the fact that when we do things that violate God's laws, and violate God's guardrails, and violate God's guidelines, that we need to understand that there will be consequences. But you know what? We can sit here and say this over and over again, warnings from God, and it'll fall on deaf ears. 2,600 years ago, it fell on deaf ears in Judah, and 2,600 years later, it's falling on deaf ears in our country, and I don't even know if it's falling on deaf ears here, or deaf ears to those who hear it on the internet, or deaf ears to those who will hear it over the radio. Habakkuk's testimony for us today may be summarized by lesson number 6. No matter how dark and desperate the circumstance, by faith we can rejoice in the Lord. And it may take a lifetime to learn that lesson, because it's very, very hard to rejoice, to be joyful, to be loving, to be free when we're going through life's difficult circumstances. What's your attitude as you're going through hard times? Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. I know it's hard. Are you most richly blessed this morning? Do you recognize it? Do you realize it? It's time for us to get on fire for the Lord. Surely, this country, your neighbors, the people around us, the people within the sound of my voice, surely we need to come back to the Lord. And he's going to use each and every one of you as a beacon, as a homing device, as a candle in the window. Please be that light, so that people may see your testimony and want to know about the Lord you serve. God bless you as you do that. Lord, we just pray this morning that we will get a lesson from Habakkuk that gives us a sense of urgency about the times in which we live and how we need to be your light, your salt, your ambassador, your representative, and your children in a dark world. We give you praise and glory in Christ's name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.